And as he comes and hurls to you these accusations about the omnipotent God, who is not omnipotent at all, about the omnipresent Spirit, who is not omnipresent at all, he's only lying to you. And right here, this little creature begins to say to that world mind, I am awakening from the sleep. I can't kill, and neither can you. No one can kill. That which was killed was an image in your mind, Mr. World. It was never there in the first place. All that is still there is the eternal life that never went away, and the invisible manifestation is there. And don't be surprised when you know this if you don't talk to that invisible manifestation. You can even talk to the invisible manifestation of what is called a living child, and you can do it right now. You can talk to the invisible self of anyone who walks this earth, but not with your human mind. You find, as you are in this great inner freedom, where you're sort of hovering, not in a form, that you feel this communion with the supreme and only intelligence of the universe, in which I am not only one with the Father, but I am one with all that is the One. And in this communion, whatever is needed flows. Not just a fourth or a fifth dimension, but infinite dimensions. Mr. World, mind cannot enter when you are in the consciousness of truth. In this particular Sermon on the Mount passage, we are told that if we do not become conscious of world mind, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Now, world mind then brings you to the judge to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And this is the degree of acceptance of world mind. You make a judgment on it. Your human mind makes the judgment. Then you're passed on to the officer who executes the act that you judged you had to do. And then because of your act, you're in the prison of false belief. It's a process, a psychological process that occurs. Finally, you're in this belief. This one's sick, this one's dying, this one's hurting. This one's lacking. This one you have sympathy for. That's the sequence. First, the world adversary made you judge. The judge took you into the office. Now you're sending the flowers of condolences. That's the officer. And finally, here you are, and you're stuck in this belief. You're in prison. That's what it's saying. It's not talking about a man who's arrested. It's talking about an individual who is imprisoned in false world belief about imperfection. And it's actually just another way that Jesus took to express what Moses had taken, to say, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. But the Christ in Jesus says, it's the world mind. It's causing these things. They're imaginary. And behind all this imaginary imperfection is the imaginary matter of the world. There is no life in an atomic form. You can discover all the atoms of the world. There's no life in them. Because the life in them is strictly the world mind concept of the one unseparated, indivisible, eternal spiritual you. Now we want to come to grips with Mr. Adversary. This incredible world mind has told us that we have 70.2 years to live, and we have believed him. He has told us that we must take the good with the bad, the health with the bad health. We must expect life to have these vicissitudes, and we have believed him. He has told us that you're going to feel good some days, but there are other days when you just got to accept that you can't always feel good. And you can't always expect your competitors to step out of the way and let you flourish. They're going to be fighting for their lives in business. And we believe that. He's told us you better start storing in barns, because the day will come when you won't have it. And you think, well, I've got to do that. He tells us you need every kind of insurance to send the child through college. You better get your insurance 20 years earlier. It sounds very simple to us and right. You do need fire insurance. You do need health insurance. You do need life insurance. You need every kind of insurance you can get, says the world mind. And I even have students who are horrified at the thought of not having those insurances. My God, how could they survive if without that protection? And yet, we do not believe in omnipotence, do we? You see how at all points it is revealed to us of our own self-deceit? We don't believe in omnipotence at all. It's a nice word. It's comforting. Now, the minute I don't believe in omnipotence, I'm committing adultery. And so we're going to continue to commit adultery in many forms, even while we're saying, I am following the Ten Commandments. Some of this hits home, and you know it, and you don't know what to do about it. Now, I don't expect you to run out and cancel your fire insurance or your health insurance or your life insurance. But this is part of the divided consciousness that we are forced into by the world mind. We lay up in barns. We store. We have to do it because we have been living in a material consciousness. We are not free of the world mind concept in us, and you cannot do it just by deciding to be free. Don't think that I'm trying to make you determine through willpower that I'll do this and I'll do that. It has to come through the inner release, and that's how you'll recognize your development. Something in you suddenly says, hey, wait a minute. What life am I insuring? Have I taken out insurance on God's life or a personal sense of life? And there it is staring you in the face, and you can't deny it. You're in duality. And even then, you can't give it up. You've got to remain in duality because you've got to think of those you love. They've got to be protected. And so this is the entanglement, the web. This is living by faith without deeds. Now, there must be another way. There must be another way, a way that fulfills the commandments. And that is what your soul has to bring to you. If someone were to tell you what to do, it wouldn't help, but just pasting apples on trees. It has to come from within you. Something within you has to show you a better way, a way out of the dilemma of duality, a way in which you do not continue in self-deceit, pretending one thing while you're doing something else. Joel had a way. I don't know if he did it, but he talked about it. He says, don't leave your money to anybody. Don't leave it to anybody, not even your children. He says, heavens, no, don't do that. He said, get rid of it. Well, I don't know if he did that. I don't even think he did that. And I don't know if I'm going to do that. But the point is that he was trying to get a message across to us. Whether or not he was doing it or we were doing it was something else. Spirit is trying to teach us that we must be free, and we must free others. And even though I cannot give you an answer on how to be free, your spirit can, your soul can, and it will lift you into a higher level of intelligence to show you the beautiful way to live in fidelity to the Christ, not partial fidelity, in fidelity to the Christ of everyone, not partial fidelity. There are many ways that the world mind teaches us to commit adultery, to kill, to steal, to covet. Solomon was very wise because when there was no human solution, he found a spiritual solution. And when we are with our backs to the wall in front of the firing squad, we need a spiritual solution. There is no human solution. And it's only in those situations where two objects are colliding and neither will give way that you find the third way, the middle path, between good and evil. There's something beside good and there's something beside evil, between them both, that middle path. As you remember, many of you have said, Joel has said something on page 27 in this book, but on page 34 in a book 4 years later, he says something that's in direct contradiction, or even on the same page sometimes. But it was only in contradiction because we were in a material sense. And lo and behold, after bullying our way through that material sense and rising above it, here are these two things that were contradictory, which weren't at all. And you will find that same contradiction on a larger scale. When you rise above the material sense of life and really shake it off, you'll find solutions that free you. And you'll feel good. You'll feel right about it. Many of us are caught emotionally in all kinds of tangles. We don't have any solutions for it. Something in us wants to go this way, something in us wants to go that way, and yet we know we should go a third way. We don't know how to reconcile it. Our ambition outruns our capacity sometimes. And yet, that's what I mean by two objects that are about to lock horns, neither will give way. You've got to come above human emotion, above human intelligence, and suddenly you're in that airplane looking down and it's all different. It's all different. Everything is clear. You know what to do. Soul says, I am the way. Turn it over to the Christ. Christ is the way. Christ doesn't kill. Christ doesn't steal. Christ doesn't commit adultery. Christ doesn't covet. Christ doesn't store in barns. Christ has long ago eliminated that which is called the adversary. There might be three little temptations at the beginning of the New Testament, and maybe one or two later. But the world mind finds no place in me, says the Christ. Get thee behind me. I live in the universe of spirit, says the Christ. I am not of this world, says the Christ. Don't you see me looking at you from the faces of everyone you look at? Can't you see me looking out of their eyes at you? I am the Christ. I am there. I am staring at you. I am looking at you from below and from above and from behind and in front of you. Always. Don't you recognize me? Give me to drink. I am thirsty. And when we make that surrender of the mind, we break the world mind. It only functions in us because we are not Christ-centered. When we become vessels, open vessels, just looking up inside, waiting for the dew of heaven and nothing more, everything is done the way it must be done. And so I would like you to see that the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, and the tenth commandment represent all of the ways in which we allow the world mind to fool us. When there is none of that in the spiritual kingdom of God on earth. Agree with thine adversary. Get into that plane and fly up above the world mind until it is dissipated, above the conditions it presents. Now we're not looking at each other and accepting what we see. We're not walking in a world mind form. This we refuse to do. If I walk in a world mind form, I'm saying to the world mind, kill me, kill me. You will eventually, so do it now. If I walk in a world mind form, I'm saying to my neighbor, rob me, rob me. If I walk in a world mind form, the omnipotence of God is of no value to me whatsoever. So the prodigal starts homeward, away from the world mind. That mind in us, which we had trusted, is the servant of the world mind. That mind in us is the mind that sees what God did not create, because the world mind functions this individual mind. They are one and the same. Just as God individualizes as your spiritual self, the world mind individualizes as your creature sense of self. Ignore it and You are violating the only truths that can place you where you belong. I was able during the latter part of last evening to come to some conclusions about these tapes. I think it would be wise for us not to have any monthly tapes for the rest of the year. I have noticed quite a number of you have asked for these tapes, so I don't think you should get these tapes and also a monthly tape. There's no point of confusion or duplicating. I think the message is coming through these tapes very well, and they will serve as the monthly tapes. There's no sense of having both. And so those of you who have ordered these tapes, you can either take them all at once or you can take them at two a month. And the orders that we have for them, we'll deliver them all at once, except for those of you who specify, send me two a month. And if you have already given in your order to Eunice or me, and you feel you want them two a month, just tell her or me. And if we don't hear from you on that, we'll just send them all at once. But I do feel that if you get your tape the latter part of this month, the first two tapes, you should use the months that follows to study those two tapes. Now, if you're a quick student, fine, you can have them all now. It's up to you. But then by the end of 4 or 5 months, you will have done ten tapes, you see. And I feel that if you get these Ten Commandments, and what else may be discussed, under your belt by Christmas, I think there'll be a different you walking this earth. And I'd rather see that than have you just be getting tapes and tapes and tapes. When this is the essence of what you must do ultimately. So that's it. Let us know if you want them in twos instead of all at once. And if we don't hear from you, we'll presume you want them all at once. But those who have ordered them, please tell us how you want them. And those of you who are on the monthly tape list, I regret that there will be no more monthly tape lists. And I just reached that conclusion within the last 10-15 hours. I just feel that you have something more important right at this point. I would say, though, that the monthly tapes will begin again right after Christmas. So that in January, automatically, you'll get your monthly tape if you're on that list. All right. Now, let's see. We have taken care of the dinner for tomorrow night, presumably, the airport bus and the tapes. We have two classes to go. We're going to do the Ninth Commandment tonight. Do not bear false witness. And then, I presume, it will lead to whatever our tenth class is going to be. If you want to be giving some thought to the Ninth Commandment, you might find that will prepare you for that which is called bearing true witness. That will complete the commandments and leave us tomorrow as a soul day, because having completed the Ten Commandments should lead us to soul awareness. And so this is the sequence that we'll be following. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.